Very good. That's a wonderful song to sing anytime, isn't it? And to honor our nation and our country. Well done, choir. This morning we're going to be looking back into Psalms 119. And if you ever take notes on any of the messages or sermons that I share, this one might be the one you want to do today. As I studied this scripture this week and meditated upon it and prayed upon it, it really spoke to me in a way that I hadn't seen this passage of scripture before. And as I looked into the depths and tried to exegete it and see where David was going with this, not only with his own life, but he was looking even forward to generations coming. And I believe that he had in mind his own family, his son Solomon, who came in behind him and reigned as king following him. And in this scripture, he is really pouring out his heart, getting into the depths of his own soul and searching for answers, and knowing that as long as he obeyed and followed through with the precepts and the laws and the commandments that was given by God, as he penned these words, he was reaching out and passing on to him the importance of what he had learned and the understanding he got to his son Solomon for spiritual inspiration, for spiritual growth in his life. And of course, we know that Solomon, when he prayed to God, and God said, you know, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Just to ask. And he prayed for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And that is what we all need, right? Not only in making a good decision, but when we read the Word of God, we need the wisdom to be able to understand and understand the interpretation that the Holy Spirit is teaching us from His Word. So if you will look with me in Psalms 119, 25, starting verse 25, I'll read through 32. And if you have time today, read all 176 verses of chapter 119. You'll be blessed. Another thing that I find that stood out to me is that David is teaching his son Solomon the alphabet of the Old Testament. And if you see the caption on each chapter or phrase in Psalms 119, it gives the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet, and it breaks it down in sections and so forth. So that would be good for to even teach our children and so forth. So, all right, chapter 119, verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. And it says, revive or renew me according to your word. I have told of my ways, and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so that I will meditate upon your wonders. My soul weeps or grieves because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. And we should all always do that. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for for you will enlarge my heart, or increase my heart. And the heart here, David is referring to the soul, the depths of his inner being. So when we look at this passage of scripture here this morning, it's structured by the powerful effects of God's word. I mean, the word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, amen, as Hebrews tells us. And here, where you might want to take some notes, just all the way through the message, but right here in this introduction part, I just want to give you some insights of what I gained and I saw here this week as I studied this passage of Scripture. Because these are the things that really caught my attention, and I wrote them down, and I said, wow, maybe I've overlooked these in the past, but here in this particular time as I was studying, it really stood out to me. Here in verse 25, the first verse I read, it says, it renews my soul, or it revives my soul. So sometimes we need renewal in our life. I mean, we get caught up in the distractions and temptations and things within this world, and we get discouraged, or even Satan will try to cause doubt in our lives sometimes. So we can go to the Word, or we can go to the Lord in prayer, and Lord, you know, rescue me. Like Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, he took his eyes off the Lord momentarily, and then he started to sink, and he reached out and he said, Lord, save me. And that's what the psalmist David is saying here. And many is speculation that maybe he was approaching death in his life, and he was reaching out to God and finding that security and that comfort that he needed in the latter part of his life. And you can read further over in Psalms, and the verses here kind of relate to one another of what is going on in David's life at this time. And not only is he asking for it to renew his soul in verse 25, but it imparts inner strength in verse 28. It guides into the truth in verse 30. And it magnifies the heart, verse 32. So you see what is taking place in David's life right here. And it can take place in our life as well, as we struggle each day to find answers that we deal with on a regular or daily basis within the content of our nation or this world in which we live. Now, when we are down, when we are afflicted or grieving or suffering, we need the Word of God. And I would encourage you when you experience any of these things, affliction or grieving or suffering, don't turn to something else for gratification or power or strength in your life. Turn to the Word of God. That's exactly what David is doing. He's going to the Lord. He said, you know, your Word is the answer for me. In my dying days, in my last days, I turn to you for strength. And he was passing this on along to other generations too, his own son Solomon. So the psalmist reveals his condition, and then he confesses that God's word is the answer. It is the answer. Now, again, these verses right here testify to the ministry of God's divine word upon the heart, and it's filled with sorrow and grieving because of the deadening effects of the world on his life. Now, and to me, I think they would say, you know, this whole world and the things around me are collapsing upon me. So now I'm turning to you, God. I'm looking for you for the answers to help me through this. So the psalmist, what does he do? He prays. He prayed for the renewal because he was laid low. And if you look at verse 25, it says that he was laid low. He was at the depths of needing some answers for his life at that time. He then asked God for understanding. He asked God for strengthening and provision. And looking at verses 26 through 29, he found those. So when God gave him the understanding, he would obey because he treasured God's law. Look, verses 30 through 32. Now, I got you through that part of the introduction. Those are the things I want us to look at this morning that will help us each day in our life to understand that we too are no different than David or any of the prophets or the apostles or those in the early days of Old Testament, New Testament. We too need God's Word. So first of all, verse 25 says that God's Word revives, the psalmist said, or it renews us. It renews, sets our feet on more solid ground so that we can understand God's teachings. So when you look at verse 25 here, and we try to visualize what is taking place in David's life, it's a prayer for renewal according to the promises and empowering through or from the Word of God. So the psalmist, he prayed for a renewing because he was laid low. And that laid low means he was suffering, he was grieving, he was sorrowful, he was mourning. But whatever was taking place in his life, if he was facing death, well, that might be something that he would want to make sure. Lord, I want to make sure my life is complete and I'm ready to meet you at this time in my life. I don't know how many countless people over the years that I have stood by their bedside when they knew that they was going to be drawing their last breath. And they wanted to make sure that they was right with God. And they poured out their heart and they would ask me, will you pray with me? And I would pray with them. And once we prayed, they said, I have peace. I have peace. The psalmist found peace once he prayed and he sought God. We'll always find that. He'll always give us that comfort. That's his promise to us. Now, when you look at the words here, they are very important because in the KJV, in verse 25, the quicken. Quicken means to save me alive, okay? Or restore life to me, or to renew me. Whatever you choose, God, I'm okay with it. So, if you want to restore my life, great. I'm ready for that. If you just want to renew me, just keep me in your care. And that also, that translation in the Hebrew means to live or to be alive. And that's what the psalmist was praying. Now, in these verses here, he asked the Lord to inspire and the breath to new life into him, or breathe the new life into him, as he did Adam when he brought life into Adam. God breathed into his nostrils and gave him life. And David knew all about this. He knew about the creation and how Adam and Eve came into this world. And he knew God had the power, was empowered to give him life as well. So when we look at the scriptures, the Bible is unlike any other book. Think about that. I've read many, many books in my life. Had to read books when I was in college and seminaries and Bible college and so forth. But I never found any other book like this book. See, it was given by God by inspiration to the revelation to men. So on its pages, we find everything that we need in order to receive salvation and to live for the Lord. The Apostle Paul proclaimed that Scripture is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. In our Bible study here recently, we studied this very verse right here. This verse is important because Paul, when he penned these words, God spoke to him in Revelation, and also inspired him to write these words as I just read. So that's what the psalmist had in mind when he asked God to teach him the precepts or the ordinances or the commandments here in his word. He desired it. You see, we should strive for increased knowledge of God, and in order that we might know his will, his perfect will. So in studying the context of God's word right here, we discover what God is saying about himself. And I want to know, it's kind of like Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I want to know you as my Lord. He already knew him as his Savior. And he was saved on the road to Damascus. And now he's saying in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know you as my Lord, that I might know your sufferings in the context of how you can help me through the difficult times in my life. And that's why Paul was able to say, whatever situation I find myself in, I am content. Now, can we say that when we're in distress or in grief or mourning over certain things, that we find content? We don't through those situations, but we can find that content knowing that Christ Jesus is with us, and we find comfort in him, and his word will sustain us through those situations. Now, so we discover what God is saying to us about himself and his life, and that will make our Bible knowledge more profitable, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. Now, as we look in verse 27 helps us also to better understand what David is talking about here as well. See, he asked for divine assistance in understanding the word and the way of God. He wanted to know the ways of God, God's character, God's reactions to his own life. So, but our lives are, what I would say, sometimes cluttered with textbooks and instructional books, but the authors never come to help us, do they? The authors of the books that we often read, they never come out to help us or follow or apply their teachings, but God does. He always does, and he always will. See, God not only provides rules and guidelines, but he comes with us personally. He's a personal God. He will come to you personally, to me personally, each day to strengthen us so that we can live according to his precepts. Now, all we must do is to invite him to lead us, and that way we will respond, and he will give us his direction in which way to go. So think about it this way. God is our teacher. His word, or the Bible, is the instructions that helps us understand his ways and so forth. We are we are his submissive students. And our responsibility is to continually to submit ourselves to God's word by meditating on God's wonderful works, his marvelous acts. So as we study, or as I've studied the Bible, we should remember that the Lord leads us personally in every area of our life. If we are submitted, or we surrender our life or any part of our life that needs renewal or reviving, then he helps us in that area. See, the Bible tells us all we need to know what we can do for God or what God can do through our lives. And then when we look at verse 28 is a prayer for strength according to the promises of God's word. And God's word is always true. Whatever you read and whatever you study, whatever God reveals to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will happen. It will happen exactly that way. So the psalmist, so he says it melts or drops from heaviness. So the picture suggests a grief or in depression. At some point in our life, we've all dealt with somewhat with that, haven't we? We have. Might be various situations. Death or despair or something in your life that it could be temptation or it could be doubt that leads us in a different direction than other than the way that God wants us to go. But as a result, as the psalmist prayed, he said, strengthen me. And it means to set me up or according to your word. The word of God restores. It is the light that drives out darkness. Now, if you read on over to verse 130, that's what it tells us. Now, so I've spent, you know, a lot of time with different people in my life, in my ministries. And Psalms 23:4 talks about the dark or the lonely place, the valley of the shadow of death. And I've known teenagers who have a parent whose anger makes him not want to go home after school. Or, you know, I've talked to people who can't escape the fallen veil of depression. I've spent time with others who, like me, endure life as they walk in the valley of the shadow of sudden death. We've all been there. We've experienced that. And Psalmist David talks about that in Psalms 23, here in verse 4. About the valley of the shadow of death. Or that other word, Hebrew word for that, the valley of shadow of death would be Baca, a dark place, a place of despair. So, and two, we have seen what relentless poverty can do to people all around us in our area or around the world. So, the psalmist, David, he's looking at the whole picture of what's going on in his life and saying, this is where I found comfort, here in God's word. All right, let's look at the last part, verse 30 through 32. God's word determines your way. And the psalmist, David, he knew that. Our life, you know, God's word will determine our lives. It will give us destiny. It will give us hope. And the word of God, the Lord, therefore confirms the choices of those who sets before themselves. And I'm saying determination. That's our determination to allow God to walk, or our lives to walk faithfully, the way of God's ordinances. Now, looking at verse 31, it tells us here quickly how we can rely on God's word. This prayer places our hope in God's word. The psalmist's prayer is, O Lord, do not put me to shame. And of course, the psalmist knows that God's not going to put him to shame. But he's at the point in his life that he's reaching up and say, God, you're the only answer. You're the only answer. And you know what? Disappointment is a risk of faith. Our faith can be increased or helped if we trust the Lord. Now, when I pray for the sick, I often think, will anyone be healed? Will anyone, you know, understand the power of God? When I pray for God's action in anyone's life, you know, will they understand His ultimate power? But when we see God's results and the things that takes place in people's lives, then that gives us understanding. Yes, God's promises are true. Here in conclusion, we, like the psalmist, need to determine to hold fast to God's word. If it's not a part of your daily routine or devotions and so forth, I encourage you to get involved in your study or devotion with God. In verse 31, it says, we have a need to determine to hold fast to God's word. Whether we be laid low, verse 25, or set free, verse 32, when we meditate upon the truth of His word, His power, you see, we can experience its impact on our lives through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who makes God's truth real to us. You see, that's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. As Jesus told the disciples, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come. It's going to teach you all things. Depend upon the Spirit. Rely upon the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield and give yourself to the Holy Spirit, and you will be whole, made complete. So the words of this psalm gives us encouragement. And once I studied this passage of Scripture this week, I was very encouraged of what the psalmist revealed and give us in this message. See, when our soul clings to the dust, we can be renewed according to God's word. You know, when we are threatened by deceit, we can follow the truth. We can be strengthened by God's word. And our hearts can be enlarged, according to verse 32, by His commandments. Oh, that's a great promise, isn't it? Isn't that a great promise that we can have from God's word? You know, as I'm thinking about this weekend and so forth, and about Memorial, you know, people all over this world, nation, needs that kind of encouragement. And God has all the answers for things that has happened in this world through wars and rumors of wars. You know, God still has all the answers. He gives us His word that we can find comfort in all the despairs and all the trials and all the hardships within the words that we face and have faced and will face in the future. So not only is the psalmist giving us encouragement from the past, the present, to the future, he said, eternity, you know, through eternity, I can trust your law, meaning His precepts, His commandments, His ordinances, because they will sustain us now and through eternity. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, or Becca. And that doesn't mean that you're death at that point, but it means as you go through the life of despair, of not understanding the impact of things that happen in our lives, but it helps us better understand God's promises and His Word of God. The Word of God, His Word, the Bible, is the answer. If we'll go to it first, we'll find the answer, and then we'll be less despaired, but we'll find the truth. That's His promise. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for Your word. We know that it is true. And we know we can find all the answers of this life. It's right here. And the only way we'll find them is to read Your word and to get into the word and allow Your Holy Spirit to give us understanding But we must take that time. And when we don't feel like it, that's when we need to do it the most. When we don't feel like praying, that's when we need to pray the most. We don't like feel like doing anything because we're tired or restless or depressed. That's when we need to seek you the most. And then we find that comfort. Matthew 28 says, "Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy." And Lord, I pray this morning, each one that is here, we thank you that they were faithful in listening to you and came this morning to worship and to praise your holy name. And Lord, we thank you this morning that as we have looked into your word and saw what the psalmist has given us as a guide to our life, the spiritual enrichment that we all need, that it will brighten our lives and it will give us a hope and increase our trust in your word. Lord, thank you for being here in our service today. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives as we surrender and yield ourselves and find that renewal that we all seek each day. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn